on the rivers. So again, Naharos Omrim, the rivers tell us, Naharos Simcha Uchaf, the rivers will clap their hands, Yachad Harim Yoranina, the mountains will exult together. So the rivers are in a state of Simcha. The rivers are happy, the rivers are Lebedig, the rivers are all excited, and the Shaila, of course, is, why are the rivers so happy? Perek Shira, you know, as we already know, because we've been learning this together for a little while, Perek Shira gives us an insight into ourselves through nature. We watch nature, we understand nature, and as a result, we ultimately go ahead and learn something about ourselves. So if the rivers are rejoicing, it teaches us about simcha for ourselves as well. But what does it mean the rivers are rejoicing? So first of all, it's important to understand that this particular pasuk is taken from Tehillim. So David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, this is in number 2 on your sheet, Neharo simcha uchaf yachad harim yoraneinu. The rivers will clap their hands, the mountains will exult together. Again, as we mentioned, we're going to leave the mountains on the side, and we're going to focus instead on the rivers themselves. So what is it that the rivers are celebrating? What's the nature of this river celebration? So the Metzudas David writes, Yimcha Uchaf, Yaku Kaf al Kaf Kiderech Hasmechen, V'inyan Malitza, Lohoros al Rov Simcha. So again, the Metzudas David said, this is just really metaphorical. That, what does it mean? The mountains, the rivers are rejoicing, the rivers are clapping their hands, they're besimcha. So you'll ask, why are the rivers so besimcha? So the Metzudas David doesn't tell us why. Why are the rivers clapping their hands, Kiviyach? And remember, the clapping, why is the imagery by river of clappings? It's the current, right? It's the current of the water, whether it's the clapping against each other, the water against each other, the clapping against the shore. So there's a clapping that the river does. But why is the river so besimcha? Why is the river so happy? So again, that the Metzudas David doesn't say. So perhaps the Pashat Pshat, the simple understanding is, the river is in a state of simcha, because the river is fulfilling the Ratzon HaBore. The river is fulfilling the word of God. So because the river is fulfilling the word of God, therefore by definition, what greater simcha is there? What greater joy is there in life than to know that you're living a purposeful existence? That what you're doing and how you're living and how you're conducting yourself is in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the river knows each and every day that it's living its life, kiviyachol, in accordance with the Ratzon, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Neharav Simcha Uchaf. The rivers rejoice, they're clapping their hands, all besimcha, because they're doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of them. That's the Metzudas David. The Eben Ezra has a different approach. Excuse me, the Eben Ezra writes in number 4, Hatam, ki b'nei adam shem b'sfinos hayam u'benaros u'baharim yaronu. The Eben Ezra, on the other hand, says that no. In fact, the simcha of the naros, the simcha of the rivers, is actually nothing to do with the rivers, but rather it's the rejoicing of the people who travel the rivers. Those individuals who are on boats, who are traveling by river, they rejoice. Either they rejoice because they've made it safely to their destination, they rejoice, whatever the reason. But it's not the rivers that are rejoicing, but rather the people who traverse and travel the rivers who are in fact rejoicing. The Medrash takes a different approach, and the Medrash says something very beautiful. Naharo simcha uchaf. Why is it that the rivers are rejoicing? Bisimchasan shel Yisrael. Ultimately, again, they are rejoicing with the simcha of the Jewish people. So the Medrash goes on and goes into incredible depth, but we're not going to focus on the Medrash. Instead, everything we need to know is captured in this first statement. Why do the rivers rejoice? Because Klal Yisrael rejoices. When Am Yisrael, when the Jewish people are besimcha, nature is besimcha. An incredible and dramatic insight. This goes back to the idea that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for Am Yisrael. So when Am Yisrael, when we are in a state of joy, when we are in a state of happiness, so the world rejoices with us. The Medrash actually goes on and explains, it's not just nature. When Am Yisrael is in a state of joy, at least in the Messianic era, the nations will rejoice with us. When we are in a state of joy, it almost represents a certain level of universal equilibrium. When Am Yisrael is besimcha, the world, the universe, nature is in a state of simcha as well. So you have the Metzudas David saying nature, when does the river clap its hands? When it's just every day. Why? Because the river rejoices in knowing that it's doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to do. The Eben Ezra, it's naturally the river who's rejoicing, but rather ultimately, again, it's the people who travel the river rejoicing. And the Medrash, which is what we're really going to focus on, is when does the river rejoice? When does the river clap its hands? When is the river besimcha? When Am Yisrael is besimcha. When the Jewish people are in a state of simcha, then the rivers clap their hands as well. Which leads us to a fundamental question, which is perhaps one of the most important life questions, which is, how do we find simcha in life? So this is really very dramatic, because what it's ultimately telling us is that there is, when we are in simcha, when the Jewish people are in a state of simcha, so the universe, the rivers, nature, is besimcha as well. And so that tells us that if we could find our simcha in life, our simcha is infectious. Our simcha is contagious. Our simcha somehow spreads to anything and everything else. So if you and I could find our simcha, then the rivers rejoice with us. But apparently it's not just the rivers. Then everything else in the universe rejoices with us as well. So the question is, how do we find our simcha in life? So I'd like to share two approaches. I think one approach we'll do this year, and the second approach we'll save for the next year. Because this is the million-dollar question. How do you find happiness in life? How do you find happiness in life? Aren't we all looking for happiness? Aren't we all searching for happiness? But sometimes we're just looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Or sometimes the things that we think will give us happiness, in fact, do not really afford us happiness. So how do we find simcha in life? So I want to share with you this morning an incredible insight by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And Rabbi Nachman writes in number 6, 6 Aleph, Vavein, he says, and understand, Ki tzarech ha'adam limtso gam ba'atzmo. Ki yadu azeh, she'tzarech ha'adam, she'tzarech ma'od li, excuse me, she'tzarech ha'adam lizar ma'od lios besimcha tamid. Lios besimcha tamid. So says Rabbi Nachman something dramatically amazing. A person has to always strive to be besimcha. A person has to strive to be besimcha. So had ula harchik as ha'atzus ma'od ma'od. And to drive away sadness dramatically. Vafilu kisha maskalis dakil ba'atzmo. So says Rebbe something amazing. So this, of course, is a hallmark. This is a hallmark of Rabbi Nachman, which is so incredibly important for us as well. Mitzvah gidola lihios besimcha tamid. There is a mitzvah to always be in a state of joy. Says Rabbi Nusa, how do you get to that state of joy? How does that happen? Say, by the way, if you notice the wording of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman doesn't just say mitzvah gidola lios besimcha tamid. That's not just what he says. Rather, ulaharchi ka'atzlus ma'od ma'od. And you have to drive away sadness. Ma'od ma'od. A lot, a lot. You really have to drive away sadness. So it's interesting. You would think that once you say mitzvah gidola lios besimcha tamid, that is a mitzvah to be in a constant state of joy. Does that not automatically, isn't the prerequisite for that? You have to drive away sadness. So you see, it's not true. You can see that sometimes, or what the Rebbe is saying, and it's such a profound idea, is that a person could pretend they're besimcha, but on the inside, they're incredibly sad. Or a person could even think that they're besimcha, but inside they're very sad. So let's analyze this for just a moment. So that a person could put on a show, that doesn't need explanation. We all do that at different times in life. We all put on a mask. We put on a facade. We put on a strong face. We make it look like that we are besimcha, that we're happy, that all is good. But in fact, inside I feel exceptionally broken. So the fact that I could wear a mask of simcha while on the inside feeling incredibly tzibrachid, incredibly broken and incredibly defeated, that's not a chiddush. That we all know. But this idea that sometimes I could think I'm happy. And this is much more nuanced. I could think that I'm happy, but I'm not really happy. I could think that I'm happy, but I'm not really happy. And this, I think, this happens to so many of us in life. I think I know what happiness is. I think I know what joy is. And therefore, again, I make an effort to go ahead and... So I think I'm besimcha. I think I know what causes joy. I think I know what causes happiness. And so I think I'm happy. But I'm really not. But not even because I'm faking happiness. But because I don't really know what happiness is. So I think that I am happy. But in reality, I am in such a dramatic state of disrepair. I'm not really happy. So you see what the Rebbe is saying over here? Therefore, the Rebbe adds in these two lines. Mitzvah gidola lios besimcha tamid. It is incredibly important to be in a state of simcha. Incredibly important to be in a state of joy, to be in a state of happiness. Incredibly important. But at the same time, mitzarech, what's his wording? Ulaharchi ka'atzus ma'od ma'od. But it has to be genuine simcha. It has to be genuine simcha. It has to be genuine happiness. And the definition of happiness is that atzvus, sadness, is driven away. Because sometimes you could think you're happy, but yet be saddled by sadness. You can fake being besimcha, being in a state of joy, but yet be saddled with dramatic sadness. So therefore says the Rebbe, Mitzvah gidola lios besimcha tamid. Yes, you have to be in a constant state of simcha, but ulaharchi ka'atzvus ma'od ma'od. The sadness, the brokenness has to be driven away. Beautiful. But how do we accomplish this? V'afilu kishemaschil yistak about this. So the Rebbe says, it's very simple. It's very simple. It's actually the first line. He says, Tzarech ha'adam limso gam bi'atzmo. The Rebbe says, you know how you find simcha in life? Find something good inside of yourself. This is such an interesting idea. The Rebbe says, simcha comes from within. You know, the great mistake we make in life. We often make this much more in our youth, but as we get older, we begin to understand things a little bit of a different way. We think that simcha is often a state of being engendered, that is engendered by something external to me. I can be happy if I have a career accomplishment, if I have a certain amount of money, if I get married, if I have children. So if I have those things, whatever they may be, and we all have our own things, that then I'll be besimcha. And the Rebbe says that's actually not how simcha works. True joy in life comes from finding something good inside of yourself. Find something good. What the Rebbe is really saying is that simcha, what we call simcha, is the state of being that comes about when you are happy with who you are. When you are happy with who you are, then you find simcha. But the truth is, to be honest, the only time we're really happy with ourselves is when we believe that we are good people. It's an interesting idea. A person could have a million diplomas on the wall, but if you don't believe that you're a good person, you're not besimcha. A person could have tons of money in the bank, but if you don't feel deep down that you're a good person, you can't be besimcha. So the Rebbe says, when do you find simcha in life? Tzarech ha'adam limtzo gam bi'atzmo. When you ultimately find goodness in yourself, when you find goodness in yourself, that's ultimately, again, when you find simcha. That's when you find simcha. But the Rebbe says, here's the tricky part. Okay, so we'll each go and we'll begin to look for some goodness inside of ourselves. Good, we all possess goodness. But something happens. V'afilu kishamaschil istakel batzmo, v'ro ha'shein boto, v'umali chatoim, but the Rebbe says, sometimes I try to look for something good inside myself. And Rachmanu Litzlan Nebach, I don't find anything good. I don't find anything good. I can't find anything redeeming. I can't find anything appropriate. I can't find anything good. I can't find anything good inside of myself. So what happens in those moments? Afa pikein, asra li polo mizeh. You can't fall into the grips of depression. See, the Rebbe understands something amazing. If simcha is engendered by the knowledge that I am a good person, living a good life, then sadness and depression is the state of being that occurs when I don't see myself as a good person, when I don't see myself as living a good life. What he calls mara shechora, that deep darkness, is what comes about as a result of living in a way that I just don't feel I'm good. I don't feel I'm worthless. I'm broken. I'm damaged. I'm tarnished. So these are two sides of the same coin. If simcha comes about because I look inside myself and I say, you know what? I'm a good person, not without flaws, but I'm a good person doing good things, living a good life. Then conversely, if I look inside and all I see is darkness, is blackness, is nothingness, is tohu va-bohu, mistakes, missteps, failure, shattered dreams, then I fall into the clutches of mara shechora, of darkness, of depression, of just total lack of self-worth and self-esteem. So the Rebbe says, if a person begins to look inside themselves and they don't find anything redeeming, they don't find anything good. They don't find anything positive. The Rebbe says, nevertheless, afa pikein, aser lo lipo mizeh. Do not fall into the clutches of despair and darkness. Rak tzarech lechapes v'limtzo ba'atzmo ezo ma'at tov. Find something good, even a small speck, a small ray of light inside yourself. Ki eich efsher shelo asa miyamav eiza mitzvah o eiza davatov. It is impossible that a person has no good inside of themselves. It's impossible. Every person has something good. Every person has something positive. Every person has something redeeming inside of themselves. Impossible that you have nothing good, nothing beautiful, nothing beneficial. Paragraph Beis. Va'av kishem askel yistakel ba'osa davratov. But sometimes a person really begins to look inside of himself and he sees that he's filled with just blemishes, filled with difficulties and filled with challenges and filled with negativity. I'm just going to read one more line. So the Rebbe says, so fine, I'll look inside myself and I'll find something good. So when I was 15 years old, I did something positive. I helped an old lady cross the street. Fantastic. But, says the Rebbe, then I begin to look into that action a little bit more. And what happens? I even find that that mitzvah was incomplete. Why did I help her cross the road? Because I was hoping that maybe she would give me a couple of dollars, right? A little hakara satov, right? A little recognition for the nice mitzvah I did. See, even the mitzvahs that I've done are incomplete. Even they're tarnished. Even they're not completely holy. Ki al kopanim ech shehu. Al kopanim haya ezin nekuda tova v'ha mitzvah v'adavar tov sha'asa. The Rebbe says, you don't need the good that you've done to be perfect in order for it to be meaningful. See, even if you did something good, and it wasn't necessarily for the best motivations or best reasons, at the end of the day, you did it. You did it. And that is enough, ultimately, to allow you to go ahead and find something good inside of yourself. Ki tzarech ha'adam lechapes ulevakish, limtso ba'atzmo izo ma'atov, says the Rebbe something absolutely amazing. If you want to find joy in life, all you need to do is find something good inside of yourself. Happiness is a state of being. You know, people often say happiness is a choice. That's absolutely true. The truth is everything in life is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Sadness is a choice. Everything is a choice. But the Rebbe is saying something a bit more nuanced, which is happiness is a state of being that occurs when you feel that you are a good person. Because when you feel that you are a good person, being a good person is a result of having done good things. So if I could look inside of myself and say, you know what? I'm a good person. I've done good things. That means that my life is meaningful. That means that my life is purposeful. And when a person feels that their life is meaningful and purposeful because they have done good things in this world, that's where simcha comes about. When you feel that you're meaningful and purposeful, that's when there is simcha. And so the Rebbe says, and if every single one of us, if we look deep within ourselves, we'll find meaning and we'll find purpose, we'll find good. The good's incomplete. That's true. A lot of times, even the mitzvahs we do, and even the good things we do, and even the chasadim we do, are not pure. They're not pure, but they're still good. You know, I mentioned when we were preparing for Pesach, that there's an amazing insight by the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe says that at the end of the Seder, we say Nirtza, right? End of the Seder. Seder's over. We've drank the fourth kos. Nirtza. And what does Nirtza literally mean? That our avoda has been accepted. Our avoda has been accepted. Chasal Seder, Pesach, Kil, Chasal, we've done everything. So the Belzer Rebbe says, why do you need Nirtza? Right? A lot of people ask, why do you need Nirtza? They're already asleep by Nirtza. So why do I need Nirtza? Why is it necessary? So the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. He says, because a person could go through the Pesach Seder, and they could go ahead and look back at the Seder afterwards and say, you know what? I could have done things with more kavana. I could have eaten the matzah with a greater love. I could have consumed the abakosos with a greater connection to the four expressions of geula. I could have told the story of Yitzhak with a little bit more passion. I could have engaged my kids more. I could have engaged myself more. I could have done things so a person could come to the end of the Seder, which is supposed to be such a dramatic, uplifting experience, and they feel like, I did it, but I don't really feel it. So what do we say at the end of the Seder? Nirtza. You're great. Could it have been better? It could always be better. Could it have been holier? It could always be holier. But did you try? Did you put an effort? Did you go out and make something of your Seder night? So as long as you did that, Nirtza. Says the Rebbe, when we look inside of ourselves and we try to find something good, so sometimes you find something good, and then there's Yetzirah to say, it's not so good. It's not so great. After all, again, look what happened, right? I did this mitzvah, but I was thinking about this. I had this motivation. I did this chesed, but I wasn't really doing it to help people. I was doing it to help myself, my own self-aggrandizement, my ego, all these different things. And so often what I want to do is I want to discount all of the good. Even the good is not good, says the Rebbe. It's not true. All you have to do is find a spark, a little spark of goodness in yourself. And that is enough to make you feel good about yourself. Because if you could find the spark, if you could point to something in your life, inside of yourself, and you could say, I did this mitzvah, I did this chesed, I did this tzedakah, I helped this person, I helped myself, I served my God, it was imperfect. That's okay. It's okay. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be good. And the Rebbe says, once you could find that good inside of yourself that can give you the confidence that your life is purposeful, that your life is meaningful, and it's that knowledge that your life is purposeful and meaningful that engenders a sense of simcha and that pushes away the atzvos, the sadness, ma'od. Because sadness in life comes about, I don't mean a clinical depression, I mean general sadness that envelops all of us at different times. Sadness in life comes about, deep down sadness comes about when I feel I'm not living a purposeful life. I feel I'm not living a meaningful life. So the Rebbe says the only way to push that away is find meaning. The only way to find meaning is to identify good things that you've done. And even if the good things that you've done have been highly flawed and imperfect, you still did it. Which gives your life meaning, which gives your life purpose, which creates a sense of simcha. Therefore, says the Rebbe so beautifully, that you want to know where does simcha come from in life? Where does simcha come from? Simcha comes from finding goodness in yourself. Again, when you find goodness in yourself, you find purpose, you find meaning in your life, you engender simcha. And why is this important? Because you begin to see that my ability to find simcha in my life is not just about me. When I find simcha, naharos yimchaochav, the rivers clap their hands. When I find simcha, the world, the universe, the natural world, finds simcha with me. When I clap my hands, because I believe that my life is meaningful and purposeful, the rivers clap along with me. And I can't tell you how important this is, because happiness, simcha, is one of those elusive things that people spend a lifetime looking for. But ironically, they look everywhere but where they need to be looking, right? I look for simcha, I'm going to find joy in my career. I'm going to find joy in my acquisitions. And I want to tell you something amazing. Some people say, I'm going to find simcha in my marriage. I'm going to find simcha in my kids. I'm going to find simcha in my grandkids. I'm going to find simcha in trips. I'm going to find simcha in vacations. Those are all great things. But the amazing part is we look everywhere and anywhere except the only place where you could really only find simcha, which is in you. If you want to be besimcha in life, simcha in life demands that you be happy with who you are. If you are happy with who you are, then ultimately you will find simcha in life. But deep down, if you're unhappy with who you are because you feel your life is not meaningful, you feel your life is not purposeful, you can't find the good inside of you, then at the end of the day, you could have all of the other trappings in life, but you will not find the simcha. But if you're able to find your simcha, just know you do not rejoice alone, but rather you rejoice together with nature, with the universe, with the rivers, and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll stop over here for today, and we'll spend one more class just on one more insight into simcha. But at least so now, just to pull this together, so we begin to see that the rivers are clapping their hands, the rivers are rejoicing. The Medrash tells us, when do the rivers rejoice? The rivers rejoice when we rejoice. And when do we rejoice? When we find our inner simcha of Rabbi Nachman. When we find our inner simcha of finding the good that's a result of purposeful and meaningful living. When we find our simcha, then Baruch Hashem, nature rejoices with us. So again, we'll stop over here for today, and in Mirat Hashem, we'll continue on this theme, B'Sha'a Tovu Mitzlachos, next week. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and wonderful rest of the week.